you. I'm sure glad that there's people out here that remember things for me, because I'm not so good at it. Good morning. Here we are for Sunday morning, and got good news. The Lord kept Mike up at night, so he was able to go through his talk for this morning more than once. It's one of those blessings that the Lord hides and disguises for us. Anyway, announcement, especially for those that are watching on the internet, there's a place that we usually have to be able to buy the DVDs. Some happened to it. So Howard's going to get that fixed by Tuesday or Wednesday. You can go back to our website and order the DVDs at that time. And you guys are all aware that you can get them, too, for future reference. Report, we're about 4,000 to 5,000 short of our goal, which, excuse me?
4,545,000.
Yeah, okay. See? Anyway, we're about 4,000 to 5,000 short. And 4,500? All right, Howard, we're 4,500 short, which I consider a blessing because we're closer than I thought we were going to be. And I'm not worried about money. I'm really not, because in my mind, in my flesh I am sometimes, but that's wrong. In my mind I know that the love of money is the root of all evil. So we're not supposed to worry about money, right? I want to tell you about a hidden motive that we have, and I wouldn't say ulterior, it's a hidden motive, but I think hopefully it's obvious that we consider ourselves watchmen on the wall. You know that from the Old Testament? But our motive is to make you people watchmen on the wall, because we have such a need for watchmen on the wall in our society today, because most people are in a trance. And Mike might even mention it, that there's a great delusion being sent. And I think we're either in it already or it's very close. And so people are not aware, and we need to wake them up and realize the stakes they're playing with are so high. I want to say that, Mike, this is the third time we've asked him to come. He's here for a second time, but it's the third time we asked him to come. The first time, he got nixed. But actually, he didn't get nixed. He said, hey, if there's any controversy about me in your committee, I don't want to come. I don't want to be a cause of that. But as you can tell, we got blessed by his messages. And I'm not going to ask you to sign up for Mike Hoggard's team to be a follower of Mike Hoggard or start a new church called Hoggard. How do you do that? Ism. All these isms, Catholicism, all these isms. I tried to put together a way to say Hoggardism, and I can't. It just doesn't roll off your lips. So, but one thing that I hope that we all see is his love of the truth. And he would be the first to admit he could be wrong on things, but we need to pursue the truth. And that's what we see in Mike, is that he's not afraid of the truth. And sometimes that pursuit leads you to places you don't want to go. But still that love should be there. And then last is I want to mention that I went on the internet this morning and looked at there's a lot of websites, and I won't say to sign up for these websites either, but I go to Stephen Quayle, and some of the stuff is stuff I would believe and other stuff not. But I'm just going to read some headlines because they're so current and so relevant. One talks about, or one that really stuck out today was earthquakes. Recent earthquake near Oklahoma. 14 earthquakes today, 26 earthquakes in the last 7 days, and 133 earthquakes in the past month, 474. That's Oklahoma. You probably know that Los Angeles had a pretty big one here a couple days ago. And many more following that. Another one here, the Ebola outbreak is spreading. Pray to God that it doesn't hit the West. Let's see here. Another one talked about how a skeleton in the United Kingdom reveals the Black Death. This is just on here today. One of the biggest ones that I think could shake our world and change our lives within the next week to month is about the petrodollar. How many of you know what the petrodollar is? Okay, I'd go home and Google that, because that could tip us upside down within the next month. On April 10th, you know what the G7, the G20, all that? Okay, well, the G7 kicked Russia out last week. It used to be G8, now it's G7. Well, there's something called the G20, and they kicked the G7 out. Now, what that means is that people are going to start trading things without the U.S. dollar. And when that happens, you want to come up?
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It's too early to be spiritual. Amen. Take your Bibles, if you would. I'm going to read a couple of verses out of 2 Peter. We'll go to the Lord in prayer, and I appreciate you being here and appreciate the conference. Fargo is now becoming my new go-to place, all right? Believe it or not. Yeah. But it's a blessing to me, and I brought my wife and my two sons with me this time, and today is my wife's birthday. Ready? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear sweetie pie. Happy birthday to you. Amen. I love her. She's been good to me. She really has. But anyway, I brought them, and I brought Gary and Kay. They moved down from Rochester, New York, to just help us out with what turned out to be a growing ministry, and we thank God for them. And I know they've had a good time here just fellowshipping and meeting people and seeing the results of what God's doing, and I appreciate that. 2 Peter chapter 2. Do you believe the Bible this morning? Say amen.
Amen.
Let's look at it. 2 Peter chapter 2 and the book of Jude. Parallel. God likes to put double witnesses in the Bible to issues and to things. He gives us multiple ways of looking at the same idea. So Peter and Jude deal with the same issue, and they're dealing with false teachers and false prophets that were in their day, and they are in our day right now. So he says in verse 10, "But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government." That means they do not like areas where authority exists. Now, I'm a big thing with that, all right? Presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities, or in other words, those who are in power, those who are in authority. Verse 11, whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. Now look at verse 12. This is what I'm going to key in on. But these as natural brute, what?
Beasts.
Now, I want you to see the association that God is trying to bring to you in your mind. These teachers and these preachers. And the reason why I don't mind mentioning some of their names, because I'm convinced that a lot of these false teachers and false preachers, and I'm not talking about the Mormon ones and the Jehovah's Witness ones. I'm talking about the ones that are in the mainstream of Christianity. I do not mind bringing their name out in public and telling you that what they said is wrong and it's not in the Bible. Because I believe that they have a beast spirit and a beast nature that governs over them. These as natural brute beasts. Let me explain what I mean by that. Now, I have a good friend, Evangelist Mike Hutzel. He just was at our church here not too long ago, and he explained it like this, and I thought it was a really good analogy. He said, just pretend that someone's coming in your house at 3 o'clock in the morning. And there's a doctrine that's called the castle law, and I don't know if they have it here in North Dakota, but in Missouri we have a castle law that says if somebody comes in your house at 3 o'clock in the morning, they're probably not there to sell you a vacuum cleaner. Amen? Shoot them. But if somebody comes in your house 3 o'clock in the morning, and you hear them come down the hallway, you kind of step inside a bedroom a little bit, you've got a baseball bat in your hand, and you don't want them to know they're there. You're there. As they walk by, they happen to step on your toe. You have the ability to not holler, scream, cry, move. You have the ability to hold in your reaction to that. If your dog was laying there and that guy walked by and stepped on your dog's paw, your dog does not have the ability to control their passions or their instincts. Does that make sense to everybody?
Yeah.
Beasts do not make rational logical decisions. Their ideas and their mannerisms. Who in here works with animals? Horses, dogs, cats, anything like that. Goldfish, goats, anything. Hamsters, okay? We're going to talk about beasts. We're going to talk about animals this morning. And I'm probably going to say some things that's going to make you uncomfortable. But it's okay. Because if God brought you here to hear it, He's got something He wants to help you with. And if you're like me, you need a lot of help in life. I'm not teaching you anything that I learned out of a textbook or something that I heard some big shot on TV say. I'm showing you things that God has had to show me in my life, or my life would have just collapsed like a house of cards. There's no way around it. And God has helped me with a lot of issues in life. But I want you to notice that this idea, these as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. So that's what he's doing. He's bringing the analogy of these false teachers and false doctrines, and he's equating them with beasts. And what I'm going to show you from the scripture, we have a video back here. I'm not going to be able to do it all justice this morning, but we have a DVD on the table called Mystery Creatures of the Bible and Where Dragons Live. And to me, it was an interesting study to do because, and I mentioned this yesterday, we're the ones who believe in giants, dragons, and unicorns. Amen? Because they're in the Bible. And they're actually in, there are historical accounts of all of these. But the idea of where dragons live, that's what I'm going to talk about this morning. I want you to look up on the screen, and you'll see where I'm going with this. Exodus chapter 32, this was they're at the base of Mount Sinai, and they'd given Aaron all of their gold. And I want you to look at that. And he received them at their hand, and he fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten what? Calf. Isn't it interesting to you that when they began to fashion a false god, they made it in the image of an animal?
Wow.
A beast. Why did they do that? There was a spirit that was working in the children of disobedience. All right? Take a look at this verse, Psalm 22. Psalm 22 starts out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? So we know it's a prophecy of Christ on the cross. All right? They pierced my hands and feet. They parted my garments asunder and cast lots for my vesture. That's what's in Psalm 22. And I want you to notice what has circled and encompassed Christ on the cross. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me around. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and roaring lion. Dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and feet. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. Does anybody know what the word zodiac means? Zoa is the Greek word for beast. And the zodiac in astrology, it literally means a circle of beasts or a circle of animals. And if you think about the zodiac, who in here is a Taurus? I don't really care if you are or not, I'm just asking. A Taurus is a bull. Capricorn is an animal. Sagittarius is an animal. The newest one, Ophiuchus, it's a serpent. There is a constellation in the northern sky called Draco. What is that? The dragon. And it's coming up out of the... Can I throw something at you? Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. The ark, the tabernacle was laid in a very perfect, precise manner. The entrance had to be east. The Ark of the Covenant had to be on the west, which meant that the table of showbread was on the north. If you read Jeremiah, you'll see over and over and over that God's got an army that's going to come in out of the north that are the enemies of God's people. And here's what God did. He literally put a table in the north part of the sanctuary, right in the presence of his enemies. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
God's good. Amen. He'll let you sit down while the enemies are staring at you and help you break bread. Amen. But anyway, all of these animals that have circled and compassed Christ on the cross, were they earth animals, earth beasts, or were they spiritual beasts? And that's what I want you to think of this morning. Ezekiel chapter 8, verse 9. Ezekiel is being taken on a tour of what's going on in the house of God. And he said unto me, go in and behold the wicked abominations that they do there. So I went in and saw, and behold, every form of creeping things, an abominable beast, and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed upon the wall round about. They were in the house of God, and they were worshiping, not men, they were worshiping beasts, animals. Daniel chapter 7, we have the story of the four beasts, the four powers. And think of this, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places, and these four last day kingdoms and these four entities, they don't look like humans. They don't look like men. They are beasts. And there are, the Bible's telling you, that there are earthly realm beasts and spiritual realms. Think about this. In Revelation 19, Jesus comes back with 10,000 of his saints. How? Riding in a Corvette? A white horse. What was that? Is that like Trigger and Silver reincarnated? You know who Trigger and Silver is, don't you? Hi-ho Silver? Boy, it is early, isn't it? It's either early or you're still being Norwegians. All right, one of the two. But anyway, where does that horse come from? A spiritual realm. Think of Revelation chapter 6. When Jesus opens the first seal, what does he see? A white horse and a rider on that. In, what is it, Zechariah, he sees these horses and their chariots, the red horse, the white horse, the black horse, the grizzled and bay horse, or the pale horse. He sees these things. What are they? Are they earthly realm horses? No. The Bible's teaching you about spiritual realm beasts. I did a study of angelology. I just, for my own curiosity, I wanted to study angels in the Bible. There are men angels. We see them showing up in Genesis chapter 18, Genesis 19. Gabriel was a man-styled angel, and we know that to be true. Michael was as well. But the devil is not fashioned after a man. He is a serpent. He is a dragon. And these are not just mythological, philosophical, metaphorical things that to fill the empty voids of your mind. God is accurately describing for you who these angels are and what their nature is. And what I'm going to show you today is that these beasts, these devils, they have a certain nature about them. Who in here, raise your hand if you do anything with animals, dogs, cats, cattle. Who in here knows anything about cattle? Okay? Got some cattle guys here. Okay? Cattle, there's a certain way that they want to live their life, and you cannot get cows to climb trees. Cows don't live in trees. Who in here deer hunts? Amen! Best place in the world to deer hunt is up in a tree. Why? Because deer don't think that a predator is gonna be up high. Normally, the biggest deer I ever shot, me and Matthew was up in a tree stand. He goes, "Dad, there he is." And I killed him. I dropped him. You know why? He was not looking for me up there. You know why? It's not in his nature. Deer don't climb trees. Bears do.
Amen.
Amen. That's the worst place in the world to go. But here's my point. They all have a nature, and they have a habitat, and they have a place where they feel comfortable living. You hang on to that as we move on. Romans chapter 1, verse 21, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to what? Birds, beasts, and to four-footed beasts and creeping things." You see that number four again? That is a replacement for the gospel. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They have taken the glory of the uncorruptible gospel and the uncorruptible word of God, and they have replaced it with images that look like animals. They worship, in Revelation 13, they worshiped the beast. And they worshiped the dragon that gave power to the beast. So you ponder that for a minute. 1 Peter 5:8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." And if you just kind of think about this, if you're out in Kenya somewhere, you're out in Africa, and a lion's running towards you, and he's going to attack you and chew you up and eat you, can he be reasoned with?
No.
No.
Can you say to the lion, "Mr. Lion, please don't, I have children at home"? You can't do that. They don't care. They have an immutable nature. That means they can't change. They can't make themselves better than what they are. They are beasts. They are wild animals. And God designed them to be that way. Revelation 13:1, "I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea." Was John just dreaming this? Was he just making up words that sounded nice so we can just kind of think about how this guy is? Or was he accurately describing exactly what he saw and who this Antichrist is? Go back to Ezekiel chapter 1 and Revelation chapter 4. They also are double witnesses of the throne in heaven. And the throne in heaven has four cherubs that support it. And they look like the appearance of a man, of an ox, and an eagle, and a lion. So we know for a fact, according to the scripture, there are earthly realm beasts. There are spiritual realm beasts. And they all provide a function for the kingdom of God. Luke chapter 9, verse 58. And here's what we're going to focus on this morning. Jesus said unto him, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." I want you to think about, and number one, is this verse true? Where do foxes live? They live in holes. They live in little dens that either they dug out or somebody else dug out. And that's where they like to live. You don't find foxes up in a tree somewhere. You don't. Monkeys, however, where do you find monkeys? In the trees. You don't find monkeys in the water. You don't find monkeys in a hole somewhere. You don't find them anywhere. God designed these beasts and these animals with a nature that there is only certain conditions and certain areas that they like to live in. And in areas where they are not comfortable, areas where they cannot find shelter or comfort, they simply don't live there. Some of them live in nests. Some of them live in trees. Some of them live down in holes in the ground. Some of them live under rocks. Some of them live underwater. But every animal has a place where it likes to live. Does everybody follow me so far? Now, I want you to take this concept now, and God shows us His Word by what is around us. We know this well enough. Who in here has a cat? I don't like cats. In cat mindology, you are living in that cat's house. Amen? And that cat is on your chair for a reason. And when you walk up to your chair or your place in the living room and you look at the cat, and the cat's just looking at back going with his tail. Can I help you? Yeah, you're in my spot. I don't think so. I don't like cats.
Amen.
Amen. Or you remember Alf? Remember Alf?
Yeah.
The only good cat is a stir-fried cat. Ha! But they have a nature. They have a place where they like to live. And I want you to think of that. I'm going to get in some uncomfortable areas in your life. Because I did a study of dragons all throughout the scriptures. Anything that you want to know about the devil, you'll find it right here. Boy Scouts are given a trail guide. Boy Scouts given a trail guide. And on that trail guide, there's a list of animals that they might encounter in the woods. There's a list of leaves that they shouldn't touch. Amen? Been there, done that. There's a list of animals and where they might find them. Be careful. Everybody knows around here when you pick up wood after it's been there all winter long, or rocks or something like that, be very careful when you pick them up. What could be laying under there? Big old rattlesnake or something like that. Or we have a lot of copperheads down where we live. And I hate them. Man, I don't like snakes at all. But you got to be careful when you pick certain things up because they're going to be under there. Spiders have places that they like to live. Cockroaches have places that they like to live. By the way, interesting thing about cockroaches, and this is why I don't like them and neither does my wife, they don't like the light. You turn the light on and the cockroaches leave. Amen. They like very dark places. And I want you to get where I'm going with this. Because the Bible is teaching us about who our enemy is and about his nature and about how he is designed. And I'm going to tell you something. You do not have to be afraid of him. He does, however, have to be afraid of you. And I'm going to show you that from the scriptures. There is no reason in the world for you to have dragons living in your life. Revelation chapter 12, the Bible teaches us that the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. There is one aspect of the devil's nature right there. He hates Jesus. He hates that book you've got in your lap. He hates that Bible. Jesus is the Word of God. Amen? So what is the dragon wanting to devour as soon as it's born? Those of us who have pastored, we know this. We know that if we get someone who comes to our altar, comes to our church, and they get saved, we know for a fact that the most crucial time of their new life in Christ is right after they are first born again. Because they're babes in Christ and they're very weak, and we know for a fact, we've dealt with this before, we've been in the ministry, we know for a fact that the devil will come after them and target them specifically at the very beginning of their life in Christ. Do we not know that? Say amen. Do you know why? As soon as it happens, he's right there to devour the Word of God. In Mark chapter 4, Brother Tim and I were talking about this. The Bible's teaching you how to understand parables. God will give you the symbol, and then God will explain the symbol. Look what he says in Mark chapter 4, verse 3. Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. And notice that it says, the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to think of creatures that fly through the heavens that have wings. And God designed an earthly representation of that so we could get a picture of it. And then Jesus himself explained it this way. The sower soweth the word. So here is the seed, the incorruptible seed of the word of God. That word means that it's not only not corrupt, you can't corrupt the real word of God. It is incorruptible. Can I get an amen out of somebody?
Amen.
You cannot change God's word. It doesn't happen. So anyway, the sower soweth the word, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, and when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. Do you see what he's doing here? He is devouring the word of God as soon as it's there, so that it has no effect in a person's life. So we understand, number one, what dragons like to eat. Dragons love to consume the Word of God. Why is it that we see people come into our church, we preach our guts out to them, give them the salvation message, give them the gospel, and they walk out unchanged as if nothing ever happened and we never see them again? Do you know why? The devil was there to devour the Word as soon as it came. Hand out tracts. For every, 100,000 tracts that people hand out, or of sermon CDs, or whatever it is, one maybe out of 100,000 might listen to that and respond to it and ask God for salvation. The other 99 whatever thousand there is out there, the dragon came and devoured the word as soon as it went into him. Because that's what he does. Now I'm going to ask you a question this morning. I just want you to answer this in your mind. How often do you read your Bible? How often do you read your Bible? What place in your life does your Bible have in your life? And I know I'm talking to people who probably would say, yes, I'm saved, I'm born again, I go to church, or I worship God, or this and that and the other. And I'm asking you this morning, how often do you read your Bible? How often do you meditate on God's Word? But you know what happens, especially in this world today? Oh, we hear a little verse, hear a couple verses out of the preacher Sunday morning, and maybe look at a verse in Sunday school, and maybe Wednesday night get a verse in us and things like that. And as soon as we're out of church, we're putting on Britney Spears and Madonna and Willie Nelson, and we're listening to that rock gut music, and we're watching Filth and Ellen DeGeneres on TV, and she's telling everybody how cool it is to be queer. And we're letting the world come into our minds. Paul said, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners.
Ooh.
You say, well, I go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Yes, those are good manners. Evil communications are dragons that will devour the Word of God in your life and have no power, no effect in your life. And you wonder why you cannot stay away from some sins. You wonder why you and your wife are fighting every other day. You wonder why your kids are not turning out how you wanted them to be. Who are we fooling? When we have removed the sole source of power in our lives, the Word of God. And I'm just going to tell you like this. If you didn't have the dragons living there, they wouldn't be there to devour the Word of God out of your life. Some of you this morning, you might need help in your marriage. You might have some kids that are wandering and going astray. You might find yourself in a position in life where you don't think that you're going to make it. At any moment right now, you're contemplating, I'm done with this church stuff. I don't want it anymore. I can't stay away from the evil and the sin of this world. I'm out of here. And you wonder why it's happening. Who are we fooling? We've got devils and dragons living in our homes. We've got them in our marriages. We have them in our families. Hey, we've got them in the White House.
Yeah.
And the Congress House. And the Judicial House. We've got them in every state in the Union. We've got them on every TV channel. We've got these things everywhere.
Amen.
And I want to tell you something. They only exist in areas that they feel comfortable with. Because he is a beast. And dragons will not live in certain places. You wonder why there's no power in your life. We wonder why there's no power in our churches. And so you know what they do? You know what they do in churches now when they remove the Word of God? They bring in pseudo power. So they bring in the drums and the guitars and the light shows and the Jezebel women up there in their tight suits singing to everybody, get everybody swaying to the music and work everybody up into a frenzy with the music. Who are we kidding? Church is not supposed to be a pep rally. Church is supposed to be a birthing station, where men and women and children will hear the Word of God preached to them, and they'll have the Word of God there, and they know that they're in a safe environment, that there are no devils in that church, and the Word of God will stick in their life, and when they walk out of there, they have real change in their life instead of just an emotional high that lasts only a few hours. Can I get an amen out of God's people? And I'm going to tell you something. The reason why you ain't got no power in your life, you don't have any Word in your life. You might listen to a little sermon, get some of these tapes that these guys have passed around here. So all that's good, all that's good. But your life is so infested, inhabited with dragons that the Word of God stands no chance of making any real and lasting change in your life. And you walk around in constant defeat. Just like birds who see seed or food on the ground. Satan's nature is to devour the Word so that it has no effect in a person's life or a church or a denomination. I'm telling you, I came out of a denomination that I became convinced was infested with dragons. I would not be part of a church where the Word of God was not number one, and neither should you. You should not settle for second best when it comes to your eternal soul and your spiritual life. Can I hear you say amen?
Amen.
I'm going to move through some of this. Dragons, the wine of poison is the poison of dragons. Dragons tell lies, don't they? The serpent stood in front of Eve and lied through his teeth about what God said. And you should probably know where my heart is. The very first introduction we have to Satan in this world, the very first thing he did, and he doesn't get a choice, it's his nature. He hates the words of God. He hates them. So what did he do? He doubted them. He added to them. He contradicted them by saying, "Ye shall not surely die." And then he offered Eve another way to go that God did not say to her. If you eat this fruit, you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And we wonder why in this country, that when it comes to Christianity in America, all we get is Rick Warren, Kenneth Copeland, Joel Osteen, Todd Bentley, who's a drunk and an adulterer. This is all we get. Jim Staley lives not too far from me. This guy hates the Word of God. He'll tell you that if you want to be truly saved, you have to go back and keep the law. He's lying through his teeth. You be careful about these Hebrew roots people that are trying to get you back under the dominion of the law. Let me tell you something. You couldn't live the law before you got saved. You can't even live the law after you got saved. The flesh won't let it happen. Don't let anybody con you into this nonsense that you can go back and start keeping certain rules out of the Old Testament and that will please God. Let me tell you about what God said in the Old Testament. He said, "I've given you these laws. Obey every single one of them and you'll live." No one does that. That's why we needed the one who did to become the atonement for us who cannot.
Amen.
That's good preaching. Amen? That'll help you. Let me move through some things here. Wherever dragons or serpents are present, this is what will follow. False Bibles. I mentioned the Message yesterday. It's got New Age written all in it. It's a bunch of hooey is what it is. Altering God's Word. taking verses out, putting stuff in that shouldn't be there. I asked you this last year. Does your who is it in your Bible that fell from heaven in Isaiah 14? Who is it in your Bible that is in the fiery furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? You go find out who that is in there, and you have to decide whether or not your Bible's right or not. False gospels, false religious ideas, Genesis chapter 3, all of that comes into deal there, because any place the dragons and the vipers are, I guarantee you they're waiting to strike. And what does snake venom do to a human being? It'll kill you if you're not careful. Dragons love darkness. Though thou hast sore broken us in the place of dragons and covered us with the shadow of death. Dragons love to live in dark places, like snakes. Dragons love to live where dead things are. And the Bible's telling you that. So, in the absence of light, that's why there are dragons there. You following me? You getting where I'm going with this? The entrance of thy words give light. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. That means you don't have to go to Bible college and seminary to know God. Amen?
Amen.
2 Peter 1:19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Do you know why there are dragons in your marriage? Do you know why your marriage is on the outs? Do you know why there's no more love between you and your spouse? Do you know why your children are rebellious? Do you know why the sodomites are taking over in every area in this country? Do you know why? Because dragons love to live in darkness. And if we had the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the light of God's word shining in our marriage, we wouldn't have a lot of that stuff going on. If we would do what Deuteronomy told us to do with our children, and that is teach them diligently, teach the word of God diligently to our children. Speak of them when thou rises up, and when you go by your way, and when you lie down, speak of the word of God. Mom and daddy reads the Bible, and I see that. Or do your children see the joke that is your life and the mockery of Jesus Christ? Because you're this way in church, and as soon as the door shuts in the church parking lot, you're on your way home. You pull out your cigarettes. Oh, I've got to stop and get a case of beer on the way. Oh, we've got to hurry and get home, watch a football game. Hurry up. There's a new R-rated movie going to come out on HBO. We've got to get home and see that tonight. Now, kids, you can't watch that. That's only for mom and daddy. Who do we think we're fooling? No wonder most of the young people in this country, and I'm talking 18, 25, 30 years old, wouldn't give you a dime for a boxload of church people. They don't care. They saw the blasphemy, and they saw the hypocriticalness in their parents' life. And you go to church, act spiritual. Oh, pray for my daughter. Oh, she's lost. I don't know what happened to her. I had her in Sunday school every Sunday. Bless God. And as soon as Sunday school was over and she went home into a den of dragons. We wonder why we're losing them. We wonder why our boys are turning out to be sodomites and our girls turning out to be lesbians. We wonder why Katy Perry can get on the radio and sing, "I Kissed a Girl and I Liked It," and it becomes the number one song in America. We wonder why that happens. You know why? There's no light. There is no Bible. There is no word of God in your life. And when that light goes off, the dragons move in. You want to run some dragons off? You want to get some snakes out of your home? Turn the light on. See how simple that is? You may have heard on the internet, oh no, you've got to do this ritual and you've got to speak this name and you've got to claim this in Jesus' name. And we have a ministry now. We'll come to your church for $1,000. We'll come to your church and we'll do spiritual warfare for you and drive all these devils out. That's not in the Bible.
No.
I'm going to tell you something. God, there is a simplicity that is in Christ. Do you know how to get the devil out of your life? Turn the light on. He he'll leave. Amen?
Amen?
Why am I so convinced of that? He's a beast. He cannot alter his own nature. He cannot do it. The demoniac at Gadarenes, where did he live? In the tombs. Why? He was full of devils. He was full of beasts that loved to be around dead things and hated the light. That's what happened. And when Jesus... Hey, what happened when Jesus showed up on the scene? He's the light of the world. He's the Son of righteousness arising with healing in His wings. Matthew 17, His face was transfigured and His face shone as the sun. Amen. And when He walked on the scene, the devil said, get away, we can't handle that. Amen.
Amen.
When Jesus shows up on the scene, the devils leap because He's the light, number one. Now, I'm going to show you something else here real quick. Isaiah 13. In the absence of light, the devils would be there, the dragons would be there. In the absence of the man, they will show up. Isaiah 13, Babylon, the glory of the kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldees' excellency, shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. It shall never be inhabited. And if what we're being told is right, they're at the southwest area of the Dead Sea, where Sodom and Gomorrah was, no one lives there. To this day, they'll get about a thimbleful of rain every year. Nothing lives there. It's not inhabited. And in areas, but except the dragons. When the man leaves, the dragons come in. I'll explain that in a minute. You've seen things like this before, haven't you? This old house once knew my children. This old house once knew my wife. Amen. I like finding these old houses and old barns, and you pass them on the road and you stop, look around, make sure everybody's looking. You're just going to go in there and sneak a peek. Amen. See what they left in there. There might be some good old junk in there. Amen. You go in these old houses and you can tell that there ain't been a person living there for a long time. What are you going to find in there? Snakes? Raccoons? Possums? Skunks? Owls? Mice? Spiders? Bats? Every kind of varmint and rascal that God has in His creation, they're living in a place that was not designed for them to live. But since no one else lives there, now they know that it's safe for them to move in there. Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
These devils and these things that you're battling in your life, it's actually simpler than you think it is to make them leave. It actually is. They don't like the presence of the man. Let me show you what that is. In Genesis 9, here's what God told Noah. He said, "The fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth, and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth, and upon all the fishes of the sea." Did you count? 1, 2, 3, 4. Principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. God put a fear of a man. I used to work for a guy. He used to go on these hunts up in Montana, Canada, and places like that. He would do these guided hunts. These outfitters would take him. He had a little money, so he would just go spend it. He'd go hunting in these big places. You know, bring home. I mean, he had his living room full of this stuff that he'd hunted. He got into a place one time. I don't remember where it was. May have been in Canada, but he was way up in the mountains, way up in the Rocky Mountains. And the outfitter told him, he said, now, Mr. Ron, he said, more than likely, you're going to see some wild goats over here. You're going to see this and that and the other. More than likely, they have never seen a human being in their life. That's how remote these places are. Did you know that these animals that have never seen a human figure in their life, as soon as they see one, they don't ask questions. they leave. Because God wrote into their DNA, when you see the man, you fear him. Think about that guy that was possessed of devils, and Jesus walked up to him, and that devil said, "Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God, what are you doing here?" Immediately they knew who he was. And they were cowering in fear because they knew the man. Let me kind of tell you where I'm going with this. The man, Jesus, Pilate said, "Behold the man." Jesus is the second Adam. Jesus is this book. Yes. Oh, I don't believe that. That's not. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Here's when Jesus said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you," he meant exactly what he said.
Yes.
And if you're smart, you'll carry one around with you just about everywhere you go. Amen. Because you never know when revival might break out and you'll need a Bible. Amen. You'll never know when it's going to happen. But here's what happens in our marriage. We think that, well, you know, we can do this on our own. We don't need all this stuff that everybody says. We can do this on our own. And you don't have the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word in your marriage, guiding your marriage. And no wonder your wife turned out to be the Jezebel of the whole church. No wonder your wife will not take her proper role and place. And I don't care if you don't like preaching like that or not. It's the Word of God. Jimmy Carter can leave the Southern Baptist Convention every day and twice on Sunday. You know why he left? Because Southern Baptist Convention came out and said, "We believe that the biblical roles of a house are the husband is the spiritual head of the house and the wife would be submissive to him." And Carter said, "I'm out of here." He didn't like that. But that was the Word of God. And you wonder why there's God's power does not exist in your marriage. You wonder why, men, that there's certain things that you cannot stay away from. In the absence of the presence of Jesus Christ and His Word in your life, you will encounter things that you don't want to talk about. Look at this verse. "Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will what?
Flee."
He'll flee from you. Why? He can't stand it. I use this example. Think about it. Who in here knows anything about wolves? Okay, got wolves up here? There's wolves in Missouri. Wolves, and basically any animal in the forest or out in the jungle, wherever it is, what do they do when they encounter something that they're afraid of? What's the first thing they do? They make themselves big. Snakes do it. Dogs will do it. Wolves will do it. What do? Their haunches will come up on the back of their neck. Hair will stand up. And then they're going to go, "See this? See that? That's going to kill you." They do that, don't they?
Yes.
So what do? You walk through the woods, you encounter wolves, and there they are. Let me tell you something. You have the advantage as long as you're standing. You are bigger than they are. You have more weight than they do. And you are taller. And as long as you're standing, for the most part, they can't reach here. And you stand your ground. And you say to that wolf or that dog or that devil, "I'm not moving." God gave these feet dominion over this ground and over you. And I'm not moving. I cannot begin to tell you the number of times the devil has tried to run me out of my home, of my church, of my faith. He would put pressure on me. He would threaten me. He would make me fear him and run screaming like a little girl going, "I can't take this." You know what he was trying to do? He was trying to smite the shepherd